Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, you are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT, 888-666-3974. You got a question about your home improvement project, need some help solving that do-it-yourself dilemma, give us a call right now. Again, the number is 1-888-MONEYPIT. Leslie, we need to properly welcome you once again to the program. The newest addition to the Money Pit, Miss Leslie Segretti.
Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully I'll be able to answer some questions and give some design advice and, you know, make people believe that I'm as smart as I say I am.
You get what you paid for here, folks. You know, she is, just as she seems to be on TV on While You Were Out, she is there constantly in your homes solving all of those design problems, doing a wonderful job, and we're really happy to have her here. And
thank
please
you.
Call and say hi to Leslie and ask Leslie your home improvement question because I'm getting tired of being the one that has to answer all of these questions and I need some help. Hey, you know what? We helped last week Bill DeWitt from Richmond, Virginia. He won a set of Craftsman double box end ratcheting wrenches worth $50 simply for calling 1-888-MONEYPIT.
Well, you have to ask a question too.
That's right. You have to ask a question. And you know what? If you call 1-888-MONEYPIT, you could win a fabulous prize. Leslie, what do we have in the Money Picks prize closet today to give away?
Let me see. We have an amazing Craftsman Professional 15-amp 7 1/4-inch circular saw. And it doesn't stop there. It has a laser track cutting guide. And it doesn't just give you a tiny line. It shoots this laser line 4 feet in front of itself to give you amazing accuracy and cutting efficiency. And we'll also throw in for you a pair of impact-resistant, red-colored, laser-enhancing sunglasses.
The latest in laser fashion. All that.
It is so cool.
If you call us right now at 1-888-MONEYPIT, it's worth $110. Call now. We'll pick one name out of the Money Pit hard hat of those that call and ask a question. So let's get right to the phones.
My name is Gary. I'm from Friendship, Wisconsin.
Well, how mighty friendly of you.
Mm-hmm.
What is your question?
I have a mobile home that's probably about 20 years old. And I have in the bathroom and actually throughout the house except for the parts that are paneled, I have like wallpaper put on top of, I don't know if it's drywall or what have you.
If it's directly to the drywall, that is bad. You're going to have a darn time removing that, so you're wanting to paint right over it.
Right. I do. I realized I tried taking it off, and I said, this is not going to work.
Gary, have you tried using a steamer to get that off?
I tried, and you know what? What happens is it's like it's all part of the paneling or whatever you want to call it. I mean,
you know what?
The stuff you go to Kmart or Walmart.
You know what? He may not have wallpaper. He may have like a decorative panel for those walls.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah, that's all one piece. Okay, so paint is our only option.
Right.
Sounds like it.
Okay, but what I want to do is, being that's in the bathroom, what I would like to do is I want to make sure that if I do paint it, what do I have to do to prepare that wall so that whatever I paint over it will not come off? And nobody up here that where I live has been able to give me a very definitive answer.
Well, what is it, the Kills primer that has the moisture block and the mildew control?
Well, I think that any kind of primer is going to be a good idea for a first step, both for those two reasons and because, remember, primer is the glue that makes the paint stick. So no matter, you know, what's on those walls and however they were made, if you put a good quality primer on there, then your top coat, your color coat, is going to stick.
Now, I think one step between priming is perhaps to wash those walls with an ammonia and water mixture.
Okay.
Because if there's any sort of dirt on there, you're going to have a darn time getting the primer or the paint to stick itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do an equal part mixture of ammonia and water and keep the windows open and really allow it to dry thoroughly, you're giving yourself the freshest palette to start with.
And then after that, once that dries, then use a sealer primer that kills, like you were saying.
Yep.
Put that over that. Let that dry, and then I should be able to paint over it, and I'd be okay.
Exactly. Any color you want. Once you have that primer on, the walls are clean, the primer's on, you can top coat that any way you like it.
All righty.
Okay,
well,
Gary?
You know, that's the first time I had an answer from somebody.
well, that's
that
what
really,
we do.
Really had any idea what was going on. Yeah, I live up here where there's nothing but mobile homes, and I never really got an answer from anybody who really knew, you know, what to do.
No, we're trying to bring you back to where we have a consistent surface. We know what we're dealing with. That's why we want you to clean it and prime it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put any color you want on there, okay?
Okie dokie.
Thanks, Gary, for calling us at 1-888-MONEYPIT.
And Tom, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we know you're always concerned about keeping your money pit safe and secure. Did you know that nearly two-thirds of residential burglaries show no sign of forced entry? Pretty crazy. This shows that more than ever, burglars are using the tactic of copying homeowners' keys without their knowledge. Coming up, we'll get some security tips as well as info about a lock and key system that is virtually impossible to copy without the homeowner's knowledge.
That sounds like great advice. The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT, 888-666-3974. You got a question about your home improvement project? Need some help solving that do-it-yourself dilemma? We'll be happy to take your calls right now at 888-MONEYPIT. And Leslie, we have a challenger on the line, Robert from Florida. He's got a problem, a decorating problem that no one seems to solve. We have all promised him that you, with all of your years of experience on While You're Out, can help Robert solve his do-it-yourself decorating dilemma. So don't go away. We will see if we can put Leslie to the test with Robert's question and yours right after this.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home for calling 888-MONEY-PIT. Woo!
Whether hanging pictures, shelves, chair rail, or towel bar.
TERMIDOR. And visit us online at www.termidorhome.com.
This portion of the Money Pit is being brought to you by Starband, America's always on high-speed internet provider. Can't get high-speed internet? Now you can, no matter where you live, with Starband high-speed internet via satellite. To order Starband, call 1-800-4-STARBAND. That's 1-800-4-STARBAND. Or go to starband.com.
Okay, now we are taking a call from Robert in Florida. Hey, Robert, are you there?
I am.
Excellent. Where in Florida are you?
Crestview, Florida.
Excellent. Tell us about your problem.
Okay. It's not so much a problem. I guess it's a remodeling issue.
Okay.
We have an interior brick wall from a previous add-on several years ago, and it's obviously brick. It's been painted over, but I would like to cover it with something to so it doesn't look like brick at all.
Really?
Yeah. And I was thinking about doing like a kind of like a paneling, like wood paneling, but with zero texture, so it's completely flat, and then putting up like, I guess what's it called, picture molding, and, you know, maybe trying to get like kind of an elegant look on it doing that, but I'm not sure the best way to approach that, because I don't want to, you know, if I screw the paneling in or something like that, it'll create holes that may or may not be easy to patch.
Man, that's a tough attachment job, too.
Yeah.
Are you sure we can't, Leslie, you are the master decorator. Are you sure there's not a way we can help Robert work around this?
Well, I have to say, painted brick, to me, is the devil. I don't know why anybody would want to paint over brick. It's gorgeous. I live in New York. I've seen many apartments where I've moved in and been so excited, and the brick is painted white, and then I cry. And removing the paint is a nightmare in and of itself. But to cover over it, my goodness, I know what you're saying with picture molding. I think that would be gorgeous. But how would you attach a paneling on top of that?
Oh, it's a pain in the neck because what you're going to have to do is put furring strips on the brick. You're going to have to, you know, attach the furring strips to the brick and then put the paneling over that. What about stucco? What about giving it a nice stucco look and making it a feature? How about that idea?
You're not going to convince him.
I know what, in my head, I know what I want it to look like. You know, they got molding around the brick now at the top and bottom and sides. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to avoid pulling that, and I'm just looking at the really thin paneling. But, yeah, I don't know, like liquid nail or whatever, any way to get it up and make it stick for any length of time.
Here's what you're going to have to do. First of all, you're going to have to get some furring strips, which are like 1 by 2.5 strips of wood.
And a bunch of Tapcons.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Make them stick, exactly.
Either that or you're going to have to hammer drill into the brick and put lead shields in. And then you have to attach those. And then make sure it's nice and level and flat.
Right.
And then put your paneling on that.
Right, and then remold everything.
And then put molding over the top of the thing, right? You're going to have to build it up that way.
And lose a little depth on the wall, which wouldn't be a big deal.
Not a big deal.
A lot of stuff. And, okay, but that's really the only way to handle that then, huh?
Yeah, there's no other way. I mean, trying to glue it on is really, really hard to do.
Right.
You end up having to prop and stick and weight and
exactly.
to get the whole thing to stay flat. You have much more control if you put it on the flat strips. More work, but you have control over the whole process, and it's going to come out looking right. Plus, then you got to put the molding over that, and this way
right.
you'll know where all the strips are,
mm-hmm.
and you can use those as the attachment points for the molding.
Okay, that's a good idea, too.
Okay.
And,
and now
gorgeous.
One last thing is on this wall, there's a window. She has stained glass on it. It's a nice-looking window, but there's an extruding sill, a brick window sill that, you know, obviously one time was exposed.
Right.
And it's painted over also. I don't know if I can cut the brick off even with the rest of the wall, or if I can...
How much of an overhang does the brick have past the wall?
Looks like it's probably about 2.5, 3 inches or so at the bottom, maybe three and a half, four at the top.
Yeah,
yeah.
you're gonna have to chip that away.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to get a cold chisel and chip it away, or get a masonry blade and a circ saw, but
right.
you may not have the room to work it. I was going to say, if it's only an inch away, you could almost leave it.
Right.
And then just extend over it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's a very obvious extrusion.
What about a window seat? Just build something completely in front of it.
That's not a bad idea. And make it like a, let me put a
make it a feature.
In it.
Yeah,
yeah.
A feature.
That's a good idea. Okay,
see,
that would be a lot
thinking.
Better off because I didn't want to have to cut and seal it for all the dust and all that good stuff. So
and you can even I hear kids in the background. You can make that window seat have a hinged seat and make it storage for their toys.
Hey, that's a very good idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
There you
I think that's a much better idea than what I had thought about. I think I will work that into the equation on this one.
Excellent.
That sounds
all right.
nice.
Well, thanks a bunch. You guys have been a tremendous help.
Hey,
well,
thank you, Robert.
Great ideas, Leslie.
You know, is why you hired me.
I knew there was a reason we had you on the show. Making contributions every day, folks, every day. Leslie Segretti. Unbelievable.
You know, I've learned when I have an idea just to shout it out.
Exactly. Don't be shy. All right. That's great advice for Robert. And Robert, when you get done with that, send us some pictures. I love to see these projects as they're completed. It sounds like a fun job. But
it really does.
Still, I really hate to see him cover the brick. But if you must, you must. We'll help you make the best of it. Thanks again for calling us at 1-888-MONEYPIT. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. Let's go right back to the phones.
My name is Jay Vaughn. I'm calling from Richmond, Kentucky. We're wanting to paint our basement floor. I already painted the whole thing once. The paint is wearing out.
Uh-oh.
And my wife wants to put a kind of a checkerboard pattern on it. And we did a small section, and the paint is not adhering very well. We washed
to the concrete?
Floor.
Is it a concrete floor?
Yeah, it's concrete floor.
What kind of paint are you using?
It's the kind of paint that I put on the first time is acrylic enamel. It's a gray color.
They sell at the Home Depot. It's a concrete garage and basement floor paint. And it's made specifically for concrete flooring. So maybe.
Usually, yeah, it's usually epoxy based too, air cured epoxy. Sticks a lot better.
Well, what I don't want to have to do is I don't want to have to strip that paint. Can I scuff it up? It's acrylic latex.
Then you should be able to go right over it.
Well, it's risky, I think, if you go over it. I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, acrylic paint is really not good for any kind of floor surface. I mean, I love acrylic latex paint for just about anything except the floor. But
yeah.
The one quality
now,
this
is porch and paint. Porch
I know.
Paint.
I know that. Okay.
But that's really for crafting, right?
Well, the one quality that paint manufacturers, in my experience, have never been able to nail down is the durability qualities of a latex-based paint for a floor.
Yeah.
I should say until they came up with this epoxy, but I always like to use an oil-based paint on the floor because it's just so much more durable. The epoxy paints seem to be doing a pretty good job because they're air cure, but other than that, like the regular latex I don't like. And my concern is that if you put this new paint on top of the old one, you basically have like wax paper in between your layers of paint.
But if it's just in a small area.
Did you do the whole floor with the acrylic paint to start?
I put this porch and floor paint. It's acrylic enamel. I put that on the whole floor.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's got the whole thing done.
So what do you do?
I'll tell you what I would do. I would rough it up. I would use, now there are different types of acid floor washes that will help you bite through that. A lot of times come with the floor paints. Were available as an additive to them. I think Rust-Oleum's got one called Epoxy Shield that has a floor wash that comes as part of it. I would do a really good job prepping that and then put the paint on top of that. Now, you also mentioned a checkerboard, which is kind of cool. Now, Leslie, mm-hmm. you've done a lot of those on your TV show.
I
do you like put one base color down and then put like the top coat on top of that, or do you
What you do is, if you want a really crisp checkerboard that you don't want to have to really futz with cutting back in on lines, you want to put your base color, which you want to put your light color first, and then you want to tape out your lines and then roll that paint over that tape.
Okay.
So that any time that you have paint seeping under the tape, it's going to be the color of the lighter square.
I see.
And then you paint in those checks in your dark color so that the paint that had already leaked through has sealed the tape to the floor.
Ah.
So when you pull the tape off, you will have crisp, crispity crisp checkerboard.
Right, because there's nothing that ticks me off more than non-crisp paint lines.
Well, it's just annoying. You put in all that hard work, and then you have to go back in there, and then, you know, inevitably, you go one line is bigger than the other line. So,
I was using a chalk line.
And then you're cutting every bit in by hand?
She's just putting it on by hand, and I kind of like the rough look.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Try Leslie's version. She gets these things done inside of 2 days and a lot more than that, so I think she's got the hot ticket.
Well, good luck. It's going to be a nice project.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jay. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEYPIT.
We would love to hear from you. Call 888-MONEYPIT now.
888-MONEYPIT. Hi, I'm Tom Kreitler with today's tip of the day. Are squeaky floorboards grating on your nerves or foiling nighttime trips to the kitchen or bathroom? Squeaks are the result of boards rubbing together or nails that have loosened. To eliminate the noise, you have to eliminate the movement. Regardless of the type of floor you have, there are a couple of easy fixes. If you've got access to the squeaky floor via a crawl space or basement, recruit an assistant to walk the floor and help pinpoint the problem area. At the squeak sites, gently tap a glue-coated shim in between the floor and the joist. If the floor is carpeted, you can remove the carpet and drive a hardened drywall screw into the floor. A short-term fix without removing the carpet is to locate the floor joist with a stud finder and then pound a hot-dip galvanized nail through the carpet floor into the joist. The carpet can be pulled up through the head of the nail so it's invisible. If it's a wood floor, try a little oil soap in the joints. The soap will quiet the squeak and clean the floor at the same time. And that's today's Money Pit Tip of the Day.
This portion of the Money Pit's being brought to you by Black & Decker, makers of the new Dragster Belt Sander. The Dragster is a 3-inch by 21-inch belt sander with a radical new low-profile front-end design to offer the most versatility of any belt sander on the market. For more information, go to blackanddecker.com.
Welcome back to this hour of the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT, 888-666-3974. We'll get you the answer to your home improvement question and a chance at winning the tools to get the job done. If your home improvement question is, how do I stop people from busting into my house? We've got a guest on the line that could help us learn how to do that. Do you know, copying homeowners' keys with or without their knowledge is a growing problem, and it's a practice that can be accomplished at any one of thousands of stores offering fast key duplicating nationwide. Alarm systems, outdoor lighting, and quality locks become useless when a thief has the key to your front door. But there is a lock system available that makes it virtually impossible for an unscrupulous person to copy a key without the owner's knowledge. Joining us with some security tips about just that is Joey Kingma. Joey's the director of residential security for Medico High Security Locks.
Joey, let me tell you, being a young lady who has lived in many New York apartments, I am very familiar with your residential locks.
Well, I'm
because
glad
I did not want anybody kicking in the door and breaking in on me all by myself.
Well, it's interesting. Our locks, while they're very strong physically, as you've described, we actually began in New York City with a lock picking problem.
A lock picking problem, huh?
That's right.
You mean people trying to pick locks and getting in? So you were making pick-proof locks?
That's exactly right. We started back in the late 60s with pick-proof locks that served mainly the New York marketplace.
Huh.
And grew from there.
Well, you know, you mentioned that your locks are very, very strong, but isn't it true that the weakest part of the door is not the lock, it's the door itself? Do you have any tips on how to make the doors more secure?
If the door is installed incorrectly or it's just a bad door from the start, there's not much you can do. But what most people overlook is that even with a bad door, if you put your lock in and secure it back to the frame, in other words, use longer screws on the frame side, you actually gain some strength. You pick up the strength of the 2x4 or
the framework.
The framework of right. that door itself. And many times that doesn't occur, whether it's through just laziness during installation or whatever the reason may be, in which case you're only secured by the strength of very thin door frame.
Right. So really the door installation is critical because the strength is going to be as good as an installation as well as the quality of the lock.
That's exactly right.
Now, tell me about your special keys, because I remember your keys being very lovely, all dimpled, looking nothing like any key I've ever had before.
Our keys have a very special technology. It's patented, which is very important to any key. If a homeowner has a key that's not patented, in effect, that means it can be copied by anybody. Our keys use a combination of angled cuts and side cuts for a slider, and in effect create billions of combinations.
Now, this is not the kind of key, Joey, that anybody can take to a hardware store and they grab a blank off the rack and then just make another one?
That is correct. That is correct. But an interesting distinction for the owner of the system, if these are the keys to your home or to your apartment, it's quite easy. You just go to a professional locksmith, and with the right credentials, the right identification, it's quite simple to get keys. But no, if I hand you my keys, you can't go just anywhere and get a copy of it.
No, and when they installed my lock, they handed me a card with a key number and everything that was specific to my lock and that could only be duplicated with this card in my hand.
Oh, so it's your kind of credentialed to own that lock. Is that the way it works?
That's exactly right, and only when you show some identification with that card.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, what are some other things that folks can do to prevent becoming a victim of a burglary? If I remember correctly, my FBI crime statistics, a house is broken into once about every 13 seconds in the country.
And the vast majority of the break-ins actually occur through a door. I've heard so many times homeowners say, well, they'll just break a window. A much smaller percentage of the time they come in the window. But overall tips would be, first of all, stand back and look at your property.
And say to yourself, now, if I was a crook, where would I go?
That's exactly right. Don't give a crook a place to hide next to a door or a window.
So keep your hedge work or any sort of plantings that you're going to have low so you don't obstruct the view.
That's right. And keep your lighting consistent. You don't want dark areas around the house. Secondly, you want to be sure you know who has access to your keys. I mean, if you hire babysitters or pet sitters or cleaning people, mechanics, even valet parking attendants, be sure you know who's got your keys. Be sure you've got keys that can't be copied.
That's, obviously.
We put that very high on the list. Most people completely overlook that.
Now, I know a lot of homeowners strictly pick their hardware based on looks, but you're offering a solution to that as well.
That's exactly right. It's interesting. We sold a lot of locks in a commercial style that had the typical specifications for a home, and we thought, well, you know, what might happen? Should we make these things look a bit better? So we did that. We've got beautiful solid brass hardware, very aesthetically pleasing. With all this technology, we've in effect taken commercial technology and packed it inside of a solid brass residential lock set.
We're talking to Joey Kingma. He is the Director of Residential Security for Medico Locks. Joey, one final tip for our audience to keep them from letting people in the house that don't belong there?
Just be smart about your security. Understand that the door is the most common place they come in. Be sure you've got a good door, and most importantly, patented keys and good strong locks on those doors, and more than half the time, you're going to thwart the thief from coming in the way they had planned to.
Terrific. Joey, thanks so much for stopping by the Money Pit.
Thanks for keeping me safe.
That's my right. Pleasure.
Thanks for keeping Leslie safe, or she wouldn't be here with us today.
That's right. And
if
we'd
you
like
want
to
more information on Medico Locks, you can go to medico.com. It's medeco.com, or call them at 1-800-839-3157. Thanks again, Joey, for stopping by the Money Pit, and have a safe day.
Thank you so much.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
We'll be back with more of your calls right after this.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home for calling 888-MONEY-PIT. Woo!
When you discover you have termites in your home,
www.blackanddecker.com.
This portion of the Money Pit is being brought to you by FluidMaster. If you stop and think about it, and most people never do, your home probably has several fixtures and appliances that rely on water connectors. If any of those connectors burst or leak, you could be in for a costly soaking from water damage. Faucets, toilets, ice makers, dishwashers, water heaters, and washing machines all use water supply connectors. To thwart a connector-related catastrophe, check connectors annually. If you spot any cracks, creases, or corrosion, replace them immediately. For more appliance maintenance tips, visit Professor Flush at www.fluidmaster.com.
Welcome back to this hour of the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And we are solving calls one after another after another. Leslie, they just can't stump you. We're pulling it all together for you, to help you make your life and your home just that much more livable.
Now that you've put the challenge out there, they're going to give me the hard questions.
I've thrown the glove down. Come on, let's see if we can stump Leslie Segretti.
Them's are fighting words. Bring it on.
I don't think they can do it. But you know what? Just to kind of sweeten the pot, we're going to throw all the names of the folks that call and ask a question into the Money Pit hard hat. And if yours is the name we pull out, guess what? You get to win.
Not only do they get to stump me, but they get an amazing Craftsman circular saw with a laser track cutting guide. It's pretty darn amazing, and you'll look oh so fashionable cutting perfectly straight with your laser guide.
And your laser glasses that come
and
along.
And your fashionable laser safety glasses that enhance your laser viewing. Because, you know, if you're working in the sunlight, you don't want to lose that laser guide. This will really help you to get your cuts straight.
It could be like a chick magnet if you're a guy.
Those cool rose-colored glasses. If you're a girl, too, you could get all the guys passing by. So make sure you're looking sexy with your glasses on.
And it's worth $110. So if you want to win that Craftsman Laser Track circular saw, call us right now and ask a question at 1-888-MONEYPIT. Let's get back to the phones.
We have Barney on the line. How are you, Barney?
Pretty good.
You have some sort of problem with your garage door?
A year or so ago, it got to the point where it wouldn't close with the remote, and I would have to use the hardwired switch to get it to close. And I thought maybe it was the eyes to sense something was below the door, so I switched the eyes from the other unit, and that didn't make any difference. So I just put up with that for a while. Well, now it's to the point where when it opens, it'll only open a foot or two and then stop, and then you'd have to go into the hardwired switch and hold the button in. It'll open up a few more feet and go through that several different times for the door to open.
That could be a sensor problem.
Or the basically, there. Well, you're right. There's sensors that if there's too much pressure, it won't open or close. Now, have you tried to oil the tracks? Are you sure nothing is obstructed? Have you looked at those sorts of things?
Yeah, everything looks clean and clear. And then, like I said, I switched the eyes with the other unit, thinking it was the eyes that were.
Well, the eyes shouldn't work. You shouldn't have impacted it. If the eyes are either going to make it work or not work, okay? If the eyes are not functioning properly, the garage door should not open or close.
Yeah, I've got them disconnected.
Well, that's not good. That's not good. How old is this whole unit?
About 9 years.
You know, it might be time to invest in a new garage door opener because the technology sure has changed a bunch in those last 9 years. The new ones today usually have multiple backup systems that cause it to work so much better. You know what the safest garage door is in America? It's the Wayne Dalton garage door. They've gotten approved and gotten awards from the Consumer Product Safety Commission for having, like, pinch-free doors. It's the most amazing thing. They changed the hinge design so that nobody can, like, really even put their fingers in the door. It won't pinch them.
Really?
Yeah, and of course, it's got the electric eye, and it's also got track sensors. So if there's any pressure on the door as it closes, it will reverse and go back up. This thing is behaving in a very, very unpredictable way, and I hesitate to tell you to spend any more time, money, or effort trying to repair it because it's just not acting right.
Well, especially if it's not safe.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, it's just not worth the trouble. Garage door openers are not that expensive. I would look to either replace the door or simply replace the opener at this point because it's clearly not behaving properly. It's misbehaving. We don't like garage doors that misbehave.
Okay, sounds like good advice.
Now, let me give you one more tip, too. When you go to put the new door on, the springs that keep the door closed and open,
right?
Make sure that you run a wire in between those springs,
like a piano
wire, so that if the spring ever breaks, it snaps back on the wire, doesn't fly off and hit you.
Oh, that's smart.
That's the way they are. They're installed. They're both installed that way.
Oh, that's great. You know what? A friend of mine called me this weekend because the spring fell off, broke in her garage when she was like home alone. It was like at night. And you know what it did? It smashed the car window. So now not only does she have to call the garage door repair guy, she's also got to call the window replacement guy for the car. So that's not good. I wonder, is that covered by homeowner's insurance?
I would think so.
I wonder. Or your comprehensive coverage.
Barney's
your,
like, yes, I think so. I think that's covered.
I think it's definitely covered.
Well, all right, good,
well,
luck
with
that.
It. Go for a new one.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEYPIT.
Don't go anywhere. After these words, we'll return to help answer your questions at 888-MONEYPIT.
888-MONEYPIT.
This portion of the Money Pit is brought to you by Termidor Termite Control. Termidor is the world's most effective termite control, eliminating termites in 3 months or less. If you're not asking for Termidor, you're asking for trouble.
Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreidler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And no more introduction. Let's get right back to the phones because they are rocking.
Hi. Hi, this is Eve from Nebraska. And I would like to ask you a question. I love listening to the Money Pit.
Well, thank you so much. We love having you listen to the Money Pit. How can we help you?
Okay. I have a pipe that leaked underneath my sink, and I didn't notice it right away. And
the worst is you put your hand in something wet and disgusting, and it was quite a surprise.
Yes. It was, you know, the pipe is pretty close to the back wall, so I just didn't notice it right away. And the floor, which I believe is particle board, did some warping, did get warped a little bit, and some damage occurred. Now, I took the floor up that was there, the tile, and I think it might have been 12-inch tile.
Okay.
I took all of that up in the area so it would dry. If
right.
nothing else, it would dry. Now, it got dry pretty well and everything. I think I'm going to stop right now and ask you what I might do next.
Do you want to put the tiles back?
No, I won't put the tiles down. I'll put some new floor down. They weren't in the best of shape, so I'll put some new. I want to put some new vinyl down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that any defect will show through vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to have the floor real level, real smooth.
Okay.
And it's not.
So right now, you had vinyl tiles down in front of the cabinet where the pipe leaked, and the floor is a little warpy.
Yeah.
And you're looking for a recommendation on a new floor for the kitchen?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking one of two things.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking laminate or engineered hardwood.
Oh, okay.
So let's talk about laminate first.
Mm-hmm. Both are good choices, but both have drastically different looks, and it's really about taste.
Yeah, exactly. And probably, I would say that probably the engineered hardwood is a little bit more expensive.
Okay.
The laminate is kind of cool because you can have laminate that looks like anything you want. Now, we just did a show that we taped for CNN about 2 weeks ago where we put what looked like an antique wood floor in a bathroom, except it wasn't really wood. It was made of laminate.
Oh, okay.
And it looked really good.
Uh-huh.
When we were done, it was kind of like old maple, kind of beat up, antique-y looking stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it was incredibly durable, and it was perfect for a wet location.
And the laminate is good because that floats over your existing subfloor, correct?
Yeah, and if you have a little bit of a warpy subfloor, you put actually an underlayment down first, which is like a very thin padding.
It's like a foamy paper almost.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like an eighth to a quarter of an inch thick.
Yeah,
and
I think I know
great.
What you mean.
Now, first of all, Eve, did you fix the leak?
Yeah, the leak has been fixed, and so so that's taken care of. But now the floor, I need to get the floor taken care of.
Yeah, I would vote for laminate or for engineered hardwood. Now that's a little bit more expensive, and basically, what that is it's kind of like plywood with a finished hardwood surface on it. And they have some really, really durable finishes on the wood now today. Although for a kitchen, remember, it's going to get wet, and it'll probably be a little harder to take care of than a laminate surface.
Okay, I'll take your advice, and we'll go from there.
Well,
good
thank
luck.
You, Eve. If only my wife would take my advice. It's so
okay,
much easier with my
so
fans.
Much.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
I don't listen to you either.
At least somebody does, or I wouldn't have a job.
Well, maybe Eve can call in all the time for you.
All right. I need that every once in a while. Somebody needs to take my advice. That's all the time we have for this hour of the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. Thanks so much for stopping by and being a part of this program. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself.
But you don't have to do it alone.
888.